Good evening. Let's all stand together and we'll sing hymn number 228. 228. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Thank you, and be seated. Sing hymn number 63. Number 63. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how
sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven, oh the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Acts chapter 20. Boy, I'm still rejoicing over that meeting that weekend. Still up about it. That's what preaching does for you. That just shows you nothing in this world can do for you what preaching can. Just nothing. Nothing. And then you all had to go back out and face it. Go back out in the enemy territory. But let me start reading in verse 17 down to verse 28. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Our God our Lord and our God, our Savior and our God, our Master, our Redeemer, our blessed Savior. Oh Lord, we come to bless you and to praise you, always, always so thankful. Thankful from the depth of our heart and soul that you're our God. We wouldn't know you had you not made yourself known. We wouldn't understand truth had you not taught us truth. We'd never know what grace was unless you had saved us by grace. And Lord, we wouldn't understand your word unless you taught us from it. So Lord, we have much to bless you. And Father, I thank you that you give us this time. And so we've gathered here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a blessing to one another, encourage one another, and to study your precious word. And Father, we pray, oh Lord, how we pray for those who through your providence and your will that you've brought sickness and pain and heartache and sorrow into some lives. And Lord, we know people would be here if they were able. But Lord, we pray for your great and blessings upon them, your encouragement upon them, your strength upon them. God, meet their needs, Bill and Fran, and for others among us whose bodies are weak, whose bodies are frail. We pray for them, Lord, and especially pray for our lost loved ones. Oh, God, create in them a need. Oh, create in them a need to come, hear the gospel, a need to come and sit under the sound of the gospel. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.
Number 70. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth.
sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Back here in Acts chapter 20, I want you to look at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. I want to talk about the church. The church he purchased with his own blood. And if anybody is ever over a flock, the Holy Ghost hath one that made him to be over the flock. A man doesn't take that honor unto himself. God appoints men to that. But also, and another thing about feeding the church of God, you feed it with the gospel of the grace of God. That's what you feed it with. And you use all the counsel of God. You use all the Bible. You don't just pick and choose what you're going to use. But oh my, here he talks about feeding the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, there's three people in the scriptures that are identified. And I want you to keep this, Acts 20, and look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. And let me show you what I'm talking about. There's three classes of people in the church. And we'll see this, but in 1 Corinthians 10:32, we have the Jew. He said, whatsoever ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense. Don't give a stumbling block neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, I'm not a dispensationalist by no stretch of the imagination. But the Jew is a witness when you talk about Jews, that Christ is a stumbling block to them. And I tell you, that's talking about Christ rejected. And Christ is still rejected. There's still multitudes and multitudes of Jews waiting for the Messiah to come. And they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And the Gentiles or the Greeks, they're seeking after wisdom. They like philosophy. They like to think they've got some special something that they believe. But the church that he hath purchased with his own blood, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're witnesses to him. The church is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, who he did it for, and where he is now. We're a witness to an accomplished salvation, not something that's going to happen, something that already has happened. And so back over here in Acts 20, so let's talk about the church. Let's talk about the church. He called it the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. First thing about it, it's got a glorious, glorious character. It's a distinct body. There's nothing like the church of God on this earth, which he purchased with his own blood. There's Jew and Gentile and the church of God. They're all in the church, every single one of them. And the church is neither Jew nor Gentile, though both are in it. Now let me show you that over in Galatians 3:28. Look over there with Colossians first. Colossians. I'm going to have you all over the place tonight, but I want you to see these things. You know, the church is neither Jew, Gentile, but both are in it. And it's called the church of God. He purchased it with his own blood. Look what he said here in Colossians 3:11. He's talking about, you know, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. That means, you know, they're either, you know, law keepers or not law keepers, barbarians, Scythian, people slaves, and people that's free. But here's what it is about all these people that's in the church. Christ is all in this church, and he's in all, everyone that's in the church, whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, bond or free, it don't make any difference, barbarian, they're all in the church. Now look back over in Galatians 3:28. Well, I'm in Ephesians. Let me go to Galatians here. Galatians 3:28, and look what he says. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. So when God views his church and he looks at his church, he just sees his people. It's got such a glorious character. It's got all these different people in it. All these people from all these different nations and all these different things that they've been after. And yet God brings them all. And he makes Christ to be all and in all. And he makes Christ to be the one that we look to and trust in and believe in. You know, the Jews is looking for a coming Messiah. But you know what we're looking for? A bridegroom. You know, John made that so plain. We're looking for a bridegroom. And you know, the Greeks, they don't care for nothing. But oh, this church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Let me tell you something. Christ is the one that made the church. Said he purchased it. You know, he said in Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock. And he wasn't talking about Simon Peter. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I'm going to build it. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that means that the gates of hell is going to attack it. That means the gates of hell is going to charge at it. That means the gates of hell is going to try to do something about it. But he said, the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. I'm the one that started. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's the foundation. Oh, Isaiah said it like this, that God laid in Zion a foundation, a precious, elect, precious, you know, laid in Zion, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And I mean, it's elect. Christ is that cornerstone. He's the foundation of the church. Paul said there's no other foundation that can be laid with other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And this stone has been tried. Oh, how it's tried. It's tried by man, tried by God, tried by the scriptures, tried by Satan. And it's tried. But every time it came out perfect, precious, elect, that's what he is. And then it's kind of not only has a foundation to it, but it's a spiritual house. When God talks about the church, he says it's a spiritual house. You know, when you're talking about a house, let me show you something. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you something over here. Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, 2:19. You know, Peter talked about we're a spiritual house built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And oh, the Holy Spirit has a building, and he's built it. And it says here in verse 19, Ephesians 2, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And listen to this, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And listen to this, in whom all the building, there's a foundation. God said, I'm going to build a building on this. You know, the old Pentecostals used to have a song they called, I'm working on a building. You know, I'm working on a building, a Holy Ghost building. They just get carried away with it. But here he's talking about, in whom all the building, there's a building that God's going on. Fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. He takes all these people and puts them all together. And they groweth. It grows up as it's built, and it grows up at a holy temple in the Lord. It's a temple. And listen to this. In whom ye also are builded together. God makes his church being builded together for a habitation, a dwelling place of God Almighty. God, you know, John said that so many times. Christ is in our midst. He says we're built on God, and God, we're a habitation for God to dwell in, for God Almighty to be in. That's why, you know, this idea, you know, I know it's hard for us to grasp, but you know, you look at a building. Look at this building. It was all framed together. And God put all us together and framed us together. And he built this, laid the foundation, and he started building this building. He put in this person, that person, and they all fit together. They all fit together. I can go off somewhere else and preach, and I can function. Why? Because I'm in the building. You all can go to another church and worship there, and it's in the building. Those preachers come down here, and they worshiped and were blessed of God. Why? Because they're in the building. We're all fitly framed together. And God himself dwells in this place. Oh, God does. Oh, my. And I tell you, Christ said he loved the church and gave himself for it. And he washes it, cleanses it by the washing of the word. And this is the most precious thing of all. He bought this church. He bought his people. This people that he bought, that he calls his church. I love what John said. You know, I hear preachers say all the time, my church, my church. I've heard even some grace preachers talking about, you know, how many you got in your church? Oh, I got some in my church. How many you got in your church? And listen, we don't have a church. We don't own a church. We don't have a church. I'm just another member in the body of the Church of Christ. And oh, he purchased it, bought it, paid for it with his own blood. And you know what else he does? He calls it by his own name. Look over in Acts 15 with me. Look in Acts 15. He calls it by his name. Oh my, he called it out for his own name's sake. For his own name. And look what it says in verse 13. And I tell you, this is where they had that meeting, you know. I preached a couple of weeks ago on, you know, the Apostles' Creed, that we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. And in verse 13, after they held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, listen to this, to take out of them a people for his name. Not for their name, not for their glory, for his name. Huh? And to this agree the prophets, the words of the prophets, as it is written. And you know when he says, after this, I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, what he's talking about, raising up the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell as the king over Israel, the king of kings. And he says, the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And oh, listen to what he says now. And here's why he knows, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. You know, when it says known unto God, he said, I know exactly every person I'm going to call by name. And I'm going to call them for my name's sake. I'm going to call them out for my name. For my name. And oh my. You know, it's Isaiah 43:20. It says this. He said, God said, you know, said, I called them out. Called them out for my name's sake. For my name's sake. And calling out for the name of the Lord God himself and for Christ, has been going on from the very, very beginning. And you know, the scriptures tells us that the Lord will add to the church daily, such as should be saved. Not might be saved, should be saved. And now, you know, it's been a long time since God's added anybody to this congregation. But God, this is not the only congregation, not the only people that's, you know, God's got a people on all the whole face of the earth. And every single day, there's no telling how many people he adds to his church. and I don't care where he adds them. I'd like to see him add some here, but I tell you what, God's the one that adds. We can't add. You can join a church, put your name on the roll, and say, oh, I want to be identified with this. But I tell you what, to get in this church, God's the only one that can put you in it. And he adds the one as should be saved. And I love that, should be saved. Should be. And he calls them out by the gospel. That's what Paul said. God called me to preach the gospel, testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's how God calls them out, by his gospel. And that's how he adds them to the church. And oh my. And let me show you something else about, the church of God. Let me look in Ephesians chapter 1 with me again. Ephesians chapter 1. And it's filled, not only is it built upon the foundation of the apostles, but look in chapter 1. This church of God that he purchased with his own blood is filled with his fullness. Look what he said here in verse 22. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his. Now listen to this, which is his body. His body. And a body has to be full, has to be complete, has to have everything in it. And he says, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all of them. We're filled with his fullness. It's like, and I've used this before, it's like taking a bucket, going to the ocean, and you fill that bucket up with full of the ocean, if you took anything out of the ocean. And what God does is all fullness dwells in him. All fullness dwells in him. And God takes us and puts us in him and then fills us with him. And you reckon it takes anything away from him? Anything missing from him? No. Oh, my. And I tell you what, all fullness dwells in him. And you can't be in him without having what he has. Whatever he has, we have, if you're one with him and you're in his body. One with him. And the apostle talked about we grow up. We grow up. We all would say, boy, I'll be glad when that fella grows up, or that woman grows up, or that kid grows up, you know. And if you're talking about adults sometimes, you say, boy, are they ever going to grow up? Well, the scriptures tells us we grow up. We grow up unto him, unto Christ, in all things. And here's the world cannot see the church. The world cannot see the church. They can't. They can't see Christ, that's for sure. He's an invisible head. We only see him by faith. But they, you know, they say, well, they can see his body. I don't know if they can or not. But I do know this. Whatever we do in this world, by God's blessed grace, let us to live by him, for him, and to his glory while we're in this world. Just let us do that. Oh, my. So if anybody, you know, people, when they see us, they don't know us. They don't know us from anybody else. The only way they're going to know that we're different is if we don't use the language they use, don't go to the places they go, don't say the things that they say, don't believe the things that they do, and don't, you know, when it's awful for, you know, for these people have to work, get up and go back into enemy territory after you had a weekend like we had this weekend. To get up and go right back out there. Go right back out there. But oh my, we grow up into him, in his body, and all grow up. And you know, here's the thing about it. It's Christ's body, and he's the one that causes it to grow. He's the head of it, and he's the head of all things. And then let me show you this. This church that I'm talking about, that he says that he purchased, feed the church of God. That's what we're called to do. Feed it. Not beat it. Not berate it. Not chastise it. Not rebuke it. You know, and tell it what it ought to be doing all the time. No. He said, feed it. Feed it. Peter says, you know, feed the flock which God hath made you overseers. Feed the flock of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, feeding them. But here's a privilege that we have. Look in Luke chapter 19. Look in Luke chapter 19. Here's a privilege we have. You know what his present privilege is. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Look what he says. Luke 19, 12 and 13. He said, now this is Christ talking now. He said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That means Christ has got a kingdom. He's going to come back. And he called his 10 servants together and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, and this is what we're to do, occupy till he come. Just occupy. Just occupy. What does that mean? That means stay put. Just stay put. And oh my, you know, when you're in the military, especially in a war situation, they go and they take a certain amount of territory and they try to occupy that to keep somebody else from getting it. Well, Christ says, this is my kingdom. This is my gospel. This is my church. And you've got a responsibility, as long as you're in this church, occupy. You stay right where you are. Don't leave off here. Don't go off yonder. And don't go off on this tangent, that tangent, anything. Just occupy till he comes. And he's entrusted us with his gifts to be used during his absence. And I tell you what, in whatever gifts he gives us, we're to use them in this world and occupy till he comes. And our position is this. We beseech you in Christ's stead. Christ's stead. That's what we are, ambassadors for Christ. And here's the situation. We're either occupying for him or occupying for ourselves. No, I don't think there's middle ground. And here's another privilege that we have. Not only to occupy till he comes, but also to suffer for him. You know, Philippians 1:29 said, it's not only given unto you on the behalf of Christ to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And he said, Peter said, hereunto were you called, that you might suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you suffer for wrongdoing, there ain't no glory in that, but you suffer for Christ, suffer for Christ's sake. And hereunto were you called. And I do know this. I know this without a shadow of a doubt, and I hope I'm saying the right thing here. If a man will live godly in this world, live for the glory of Christ, you know he'll suffer. And you know where he'll suffer the most? He'll suffer spiritually while he's in this world. It's a spiritual suffering that you have in this world. As you see this world in its awful, awful condition, you spiritually suffer. You say, Lord, I want out of here. And we spiritually suffer in this world. You know, we spiritually suffer over one another. We spiritually suffer over people and what they go through. And when, you know, somebody done something the other day, and I said, boy, I said, When you do something like that, our Lord said, it's just like you did it for me. You did it for me. And not only will we suffer spiritually, but our souls will be so vexed. That means so troubled. So troubled. And I tell you what, and we suffer spiritually in this world. The Spirit of God in us, the Word of God that dwells in us, we suffer spiritually and our soul gets vexed. But so much of our suffering is self-inflicted. Do you know that? Most of it. You know, we be foolish, being self-willed, going against the Scripture. But suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ is a matter altogether. To deny self. And here's the thing about it. When, you know, a person that's in Christ don't have to be recognized. They don't have to be recognized. They don't have to have the attention. They don't have to, you know, boy, look at me. And I'll tell you something else about them that suffer for Christ. They don't have to have things going well all the time. You know, one thing that I found out over the years, and I heard Brother Henry say it one time. He says, you know, say, well, my relatives have come in, my brothers come in, my sisters come in, or some of my kids have come in, and you know, I need to stay home with them. Is that, why do people do that? Do you think that they're going to be offended? They're going to offend their family if they go hear the gospel? But that's what happens. People, you know, they'd rather offend Christ and rather stay away from the gospel as to come and say, listen, if y'all want to go, come on. If you don't, stay at the house. I've never have understood that. And then it talks us about us being a co-worker with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're laborers together with Him. Laborers together with Him. And the body, this church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, does the will of its head. And every member has a function. I don't know what it is, but it has a function. And I tell you what, you know, we got a future too. We got a future. Look over in Acts chapter 1. We got a future. This church has such a blessed, blessed future. Look what he says here in verse 11. Acts 1:11. While they is looking up to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to glory. And which also said, the angels told him, said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you seen him go. He gonna come back just like he came. He went to heaven, gonna come back from heaven. He's gonna come and get us. Oh, we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him. And I'll tell you what, the scriptures tells us that when he shall appear with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, then shall we also appear with him. And we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Be changed. And oh, we'll call, and to be caught up with the Lord, to be with the Lord forever and ever. And all this church, these dear saints of God, expect to be made like him, to be made like him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be just like him. And then let me close with this right here, Revelations 19. Let me close with this, Revelations 19. And I said, you know, our future spot, we look for him. He said, I'll come again. We expect to be caught up with him. We expect to be made like him. And look in Revelations 19. Look what it says in verse 7. He expects to be married to him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, listen to this, it was granted. That she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And oh my, what a marriage you thought. You know, like John said the other day, he said, you know, in this world, the bride gets all the attention. In this world up there, it's the Lamb that gets all the attention. The bridegroom gets all the glory. It said, let us be glad and rejoice. The marriage supper of the Lamb is come. It's just a reception. Well, our Father, the blessed name of Christ, thank you for your word. Lord, it never will return void. And I pray that you'll bring glory to yourself through what's been said, and that you'll use it. You'll use it. I pray it was some sense of a blessing in it for Christ's sake. And Lord, bless these dear saints. Bless them when they gather Sunday. Lord, we need you. We acknowledge our need of you. God bless you, dear saints, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever known. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Now, I'm going to be gone Sunday, and Cody Henson will be over preaching for you. I'm going up to preach for Bruce Crabtree. I haven't been up there in a long time. I'm going to go up and preach up there. And I'll see you next Wednesday, God willing. But Cody will be here for you Sunday. Good night and God bless you.